morning. It is the Lombardi Line as we welcome you in. I'm Patrick Maher, live from the VEASAN studios here at the South Point. How good is this, huh? This is the best day of the weekend when it comes to the football. Got four football days left as we head into divisional weekend today and tomorrow. We head out to Jersey for the first time this morning and say good morning to Michael Lombardi. Hey, buddy, how are you?
I am great, Patrick. I am wonderful. The Elite Eight in the NFL, it's always a great weekend. Four good games, so I'm excited. I'm really looking forward to it. Hopefully people make some serious money. Thomas Gable's already crying, so it's a good thing.
Oh, poor TG. You know, there's a lot of pressure on you this weekend. I was thinking about it driving in as Milliefest is upon us as well.
Oh, Milliefest. Yeah, that takes precedent over everything. There's no doubt. And it will be bigger than you could ever even imagine.
Now, again, we'll get the getting a little feedback, fellas. We'll get that taken care of. By the way, the games right now, we haven't really overnight seen some movement, Michael, but I'll get you caught up before we get to Ron and really get into the show here. The Rams at the Packers, still sitting 6.5 off the 7 opener. Baltimore at Buffalo, 2.5 off the 3 opener. And then we'll head into tomorrow, Cleveland, Kansas City. That's back up to 10. It was 9.5 when you and I were sitting here yesterday. Tampa Bay, New Orleans, 3. But it is juiced up to 120, so headed to 3.5 with New Orleans laying it. I give you those four, and the first thing that jumps out at you is?
In my conversation with Thomas this morning here at the Borgata about the numbers, and he was pretty clear that the Browns number was a little inflated. Once again, there's a tax on the Chiefs in terms of the bookmakers. And so that line probably should be 8, but they put the tax at a point, maybe 2 points,
yeah,
1.5, and it hasn't deterred people from going. It went to 9.5, and now it's coming back to 10. So in spite of the Kansas City Chiefs' inability to cover most of the last half of the season, they are still getting bet to cover this game. And frankly, I think this is one of those they need to cover and show their dominance and control this game with their offense and limit the Browns from running the ball by getting ahead of them.
Yeah, well, they haven't covered for like 7 straight weeks. The Chiefs continue to win, but not cover. We'll give you those stats as we get it going here. As far as who's in, who's out, it is divisional weekend as far as the playoffs are concerned. Also, we'll get to the weather, which I know Michael's excited about. You can check us out, VSIN.com, at VSIN Live right now. Here's Ron Flatter with an action update.
Patrick, Michael, as you mentioned, the spread has been flirting with 7 all week, and right now the consensus here in Las Vegas does have Green Bay Packers favored by 6.5 at home against the Rams. They list, the Rams do, wide receiver Cooper Kupp as questionable. Game time decision. Quarterback Jared Goff and edge rusher Aaron Donald will start. With LA's top-ranked defense facing the Packers, ranked at number 9, the total is a weekend low 45.5. Cloudy, 40% chance of rain or snow showers, 10-mile-an-hour wind gusting to 20, a temperature of 35, and a wind chill of 27 for kickoff at Lambeau Field. Bills Stadium, National Weather Service says most of the snow that's coming will develop overnight tonight, but there's a 20% chance of some kind of precipitation for the Ravens and Bills. Wind forecast to be blowing up to 22 miles an hour with gusts to 32, temperature 33, wind chill 24, traffic.
We'll get into coaching news right now.
10 wins. Oh, the more important numbers. Buffalo, a consensus 2.5-point favorite against Baltimore, the total 49.5. Tomorrow, cloudy, windy, 38, wind chill 29 at Kansas City. Chiefs favored by 9.5 or 10 against Cleveland. And at New Orleans, the Saints are laying 3, sometimes juiced, against Tampa Bay. The total is 52. Reports say the Bills offensive coordinator Brian Daboll is the favorite to be the next head coach of the Chargers. But Saints assistant coach is the front runner at Detroit. Who's the best person to place a $22 wager on this weekend? Well, how about making a bet on yourself? With an all-access subscription to VSIN, you invest in your own sports betting success. Become a VSIN member today for only $22 a month. Put all our expert betting analysis to work for you. Daily emails, 24/7 video access, point spread weekly, betting 101 strategy guides, everything you need to increase your sports wagering IQ. Go to vsin.com/subscribe. This is VSIN, the sports betting network.
Lombardi. Let's get into it. It all sounds good. We're ready to go. It is the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM. It's divisional weekend, as Michael said. You've got the Great Eight. There's no pretenders. Here we are. This is last weekend. You had the three Saturday to three Sunday, but really it comes down to this. This is the best weekend because everybody deserves to be here today.
Yeah, and the two best teams are playing, right? We get Green Bay to start the weekend off. We get Kansas City also playing. So the two teams with byes, you know, we get them back in the fold, and we'll see great quarterbacking play. I mean, let's not forget, this is always about quarterbacking play, and in this round, more than ever, you're going to need your quarterback to play at the highest level, and you're going to need to bet on the quarterback that you feel like will play at the highest level.
Did somebody say Goff face? We'll get to him in just a second. Hey, dude, what's that I heard? You want to know the weather? I'm glad you asked because you know I'm your weatherman. Let's throw it up there really quickly. Today, Michael Lombardi, it's going to be balmy. You might as well be Waikiki there at the Packer at Lambeau. It's going to be 35 degrees, maybe a little bit of snow, mixed precip, you know that, 15%, 10-mile-an-hour winds. And then the late one, the Ravens at the Bills, 35-degree temps, again, maybe a mix there of some snow, 13-mile-an-hour winds. But for the most part, as we sit here on January 16th, if we're talking Lambeau and we're talking Orchard Park, those are pretty good forecasts.
They're not pretty good. They're great. I mean, to get Orchard Park at 35 degrees, to get Lambeau in the 30s at this time of the year, I mean, I promise you, next Sunday, if they advance and host the championship game in Lambeau, it ain't going to be in the 30s. I can promise you that.
No.
There has to be some, I don't want to step on your toes here, but there has Thank to you. Be some cold front coming. You know that. I mean, that is the frozen tundra for a reason. But look, both teams, I mean, even the Rams, and I have criticized my man Goff mightily about his inability to play in cold weather. But the Rams as a football team under Sean McVay are 3-1 with temperatures below 40 degrees.
Yes.
Now, Goff has played horrible in those games. Let's not make any mistake about that. 50% completion, 6.35 yards per attempt, 5 touchdowns, 5 interceptions. You know, rarely makes throws down the field. But their defense, whether it's with Wade Phillips or Brandon Staley, has been able to rise to the challenge, and that's what they're going to need to do today. They're going to have to play their best game on defense today, and they're going to need to turn the ball over. That's something that typically doesn't happen in an Aaron Rodgers-led game by the Packers.
Well, there you see it, 6.5 the Pack, laying it off the 7 opener, 45.5. We'll get to that. If you're just waking up and joining us here on the Lombardi Line, kind of a clean day, to be honest with you. When it comes to COVID or new injury information this morning, it's a clean day. So we've got it set up perfectly for us. Now, let's transition a little bit before we really tackle these games. Of course, Josh Applebaum's going to be along, the mayor, Mike Palm, Thomas Gable. The whole crew is going to be here today, Michael. But let's get back to the news and notes of the week as we look to the futures markets with new head coaches. And I'm going to run the line for you. You said, remember, when there were 6 openings, you said, you know what, there might be 7. And I saw that twinkle in your eye, and then all of a sudden the Eagles opened up, as I'm guessing you knew. You also knew that the Jags were going to hire Urban Meyer. That's in. As far as we sit right now, as far as potential, that's an A-plus hire. Whether or not he is successful as a head coach in the NFL, we don't know, but we know what he is as a coach.
Yeah, and I think this is hilarious how at the press conference, was it yesterday, he's talking about, well, we haven't decided. Look, the only reason, underscore only reason, he returned to coaching, you know, was because he gets to coach Trevor Lawrence. That's it. I mean, there's no decision they're making. The only reason he's in Jacksonville is because they won one game and the Jets won 2, right? He wouldn't be in New York if the Jets won 2. I doubt if he'd be interested in that job. But to coach Trevor Lawrence is enough to get you off the sofa. It's enough to get you back in the fold and rebuild your infrastructure in terms of the coaches and the people you want around you. So I think that's what he'll do. And it's a good start with Lawrence. I mean, one thing you could say about Urban, you could say he doesn't know anything about offense or defense. He's a head coach. Okay, that might be true. He understands the whole game. But what he does realize is culture. And he's going to build a culture in Jacksonville, something they haven't had since the first Tom Coughlin regime back in the early, back in the 90s and 2000s. So it's been a while. I think Shaq Khan, the owner of the Jaguars, made a great decision in terms of bringing somebody with credibility. He needs credibility, much like Jerry Jones needed credibility. credibility when he hired Bill Parcells. Now, I'm not comparing Urban Meyer to Bill Parcells. Don't go, let me go there. But this gives him some credibility in the coaching circle and allows him to feel that Trevor Lawrence is going to get taken care of.
If the Jacksonville Jaguars are sitting at number two, Urban Meyer ain't coaching this team. I think that's the best
point. Right. That's right. There's no denying that. I mean, he's not coming back to coach, whether it's Zach Wilson, Justin Fields, Mac Jones, whomever it is at quarterback. That isn't going to happen.
All right, my man. We've got a kid that 10 years ago was an intern at Ole Miss. He's 38, and he's the new head coach of the Atlanta Falcons. He's Arthur Smith. He takes over last year, OC, when LaFleur goes to Green Bay. He's got the running back. He's got the quarterback. Develops Tannehill. What do you say all the time to your sons? If you could develop a quarterback, you're going to get a head coaching job, and that's exactly what Arthur Smith did here with the Falcons.
You know, he took Ryan Tannehill, who was broken, got cut from a big contract in Miami, and made him look good. Did the things that makes Ryan Tannehill play the best. Now, there's still parts of Ryan Tannehill's game that are not what you want. A drop back pass game, when you make him play fast on third down, he shows some liability. However, with the big back, and he got a lot more out of Henry than anybody else did there, his offense was much more effective than LaFleur when he was the offensive corner of Tennessee. And this is a guy that's deserving. I mean, here he is. He's Fred Smith's son, so he comes from a very wealthy family, and yet this guy has worked hard to get where he was. He didn't land on third base. He hit a triple. He really earned his way there, and you got to give him credit. I don't know Arthur Smith. I watch his tape. I like what he does. It's a play-action-based scheme that wants to run the football. That'll work well. He needs to transition from Matt Ryan. They got tremendous cap issues, but they need to go from Matt Ryan into another quarterback. This is a challenging job. He's got an owner that thinks he can win right away, but he's got a team that's not built to win right now.
Wait, who's Fred Smith? This is the guy that's loaded. I don't know this.
The FedEx guy, Patrick.
That's his dad?
Yes.
Yo, hit me up, Arthur. Let's hang out, man.
Yeah,
Wow, I didn't realize that. Okay, dude's doing well.
You learned something. That's why you listen to the Lombardi. That's why you lift all them weights. This is what you're getting information here, Patrick.
I'm just trying to get that baby blue pullover you're wearing. My gosh, it's hard
to
look at.
It's not blue, it's black.
No, up top, homie, up top.
I wore it last week. No, this is gray. It's gray. It's silver
and black,
gosh. It's
gray, Stephanie? All right, you're both blind. Okay, to be fair.
It's silver and black.
I'm guessing the Jets are gray, too, not green, right?
I don't know. I mean, your eyes have gone bad on you staying in that house for as long as you have.
Take it easy. Okay,
you need
take
some
it easy.
Light.
All right, I have color and light in the house, okay? By the way, did I just interrupt an impersonation? Were you about to go there with Al Davis?
Yeah, I mean, it's silver and black. Silver and black. Anytime you see silver and black together, he invented that. I'm sure he wants a residual for that, too.
You look good in baby blue, and that, my friend, is baby blue. Let's go Jets, gang green. Robert Saleh, you know how it goes, Michael. Okay, so we have an offensive guy that doesn't have much of a personality. I know what'll fix it. Let's go defense with a bunch of personality, and that's Robert Saleh. He's in with the Jets.
Yeah, you know, and all Jet fans are killing me on Twitter because they, you know, got to give. Look, let's face it. Let's see what he can do. The Pete Carroll, the system of defense that they run in San Francisco, you know, you don't need to be an analytical guru from MIT to understand that those numbers are trending the wrong way. But that's fine. You know, the Jets get somebody who gives them enthusiasm, gives them a spokesman, kind of a player-friendly coach, something that they're going to want. How they solve the Sam Darnold issue is going to be interesting. He's going to hire Matt LaFleur's brother, Mike LaFleur, is going to come in, who was in San Francisco with Kyle Shanahan and was the passing game coordinator. So the Jets get their offensive coordinator, they get their head coach from San Francisco. Now they're going to have to build a team around the scheme that Saleh is going to run. Saleh's not walking into the Jets saying, okay, let me see what I have here, and then I'll figure out what I want to do. No. He's walking in saying, here's what I do, fellas. We're going to have to figure it out. And that's going to be a challenge.
Yep, big decisions for the Jets at two. They could take the bookend tackle. They'll sit up on the right next to Becton on the left, the kid out of Oregon. Or they could trade out and get a boatload for those picks. Or they could take a quarterback. We shall see. The Chargers, looks like they're going to go Daboll. Is that what you're hearing?
That's definitely what I'm hearing. I mean, look, Brian Daboll was with him in New England, you know, did a really good job. He's kind of rebuilt his career. Brian was, you know, an offensive coordinator at a lot of places in the league, Kansas City, Miami, where they had no quarterback. And he was having a hard time getting a coordinator's job. He went to New England, you know, kind of rebuilt his career, went to Alabama, coached Tua, hurt down there, and then he went to Buffalo. Sean McDermott and he were friends, and he's done a wonderful job, you know, with Josh Allen. Just look looking at Josh Allen's numbers in terms of accuracy. He's really improved throwing the football, and he's done an offense that is a lot of New England, but it also gives Josh Allen a chance to be more productive in terms of some safety outlets. I think Cole Beasley's production this year, number two receiver on their team, is kind of a way where he's been able to get completions confidence throwing the football. So, yeah, I think it's a good hire for them. I mean, Telesco, the general manager of the Chargers, and Brian Daboll went to high school together. They know each other. It's a talented team. It's actually a similar team to the team he has in Buffalo. Really good skill players,
right,
a really good quarterback, and a bad offensive line. Actually, they got the better tight end situation there. So he takes over a good team. Be interested to see who he hires as defensive coordinator. But I think this is a really good hire for them, particularly for the quarterback.
Ins and outs of the coaching carousel here on the Lombardi Line. We're going to dive into the games, into the numbers coming up in just a little bit. Let's go Lions. So remember when Joe Philbin was fired by the Miami Dolphins? That was Dan Campbell that took over. He goes 5-7 as the interim, heads over to New Orleans, has been an assistant head coach under Peyton for the last couple of years, Michael. It looks like my Honolulu blue and silver will be led by Dan Campbell.
Yeah, and I think this is really a reflection. Now, I don't know where Brad Holmes, their new general manager, Brad Holmes was the college scouting director of the Rams, never really has been in the office. I think Chris Spielman's got a tremendous influence here. I'm told he's already talking to players about their technique and fundamental. That's not going to be a really good way to start things off. But that being said, I think what the last time they hired a coach, when they hired Matt Patricia, Rod Wood, the president of the team, really wanted to hire Mike Vrabel. He really wanted Mike Vrabel. He felt Vrabel was the better candidate of the two in the interview. I think he sees a lot of Vrabel in Dan Campbell. Strong personality, guy can coach the whole team, lead the entire team, and allow them to build an infrastructure within the framework of what the Lions' corporate policies are. So it'll be interesting to see how this all works, who he gets as the OC, who he gets as the DC, and how he blends the staff together.
Okay, well, as a Lions fan, I hope Dan Campbell knows go for it on fourth down in that situation. Okay, that's all I have to say about Mike Vrabel. Quickly on the Texans and Eagles, you got anything for me?
I don't. I think the Eagles are still in the process of interviewing. I mean, they put in a request for Brendan Staley. I don't know where they're going. They're trying to talk to Kellen Moore. It'll be somebody relatively younger, someone that they can feel like can work within their framework of their system, of how they operate their team. So that'll be, and, you know, I think that it'll take a little bit more time where they're going to go. Houston, I have no idea. They've got so many internal problems. There's another huge article today out of SI about what's going on internally in there, and they've got that coach that walks in there has a huge challenge. If I were Nick, I would hire Marvin Lewis because I think he gives them credibility. They need that right now.
When you and I come back here on the Lombardi Line, we're going to jump into that Rams-Packers game and get an official cap from you. My question for you would be, okay, let's throw Goff and his thumb over here. How concerned are you about Donald and Cooper Kupp?
Well, I don't think Cooper Kupp's 100%. I think that's really going to hurt them. So I think he's
nice player.
I think Donald's going to play. Cooper Kupp's a nice player, according to Bill Berman and Millie, but I don't think he's a nice player when he's not healthy. I think that's really going to be an injury. I think that's something that's going to bother the offense, and it's going to make it easier for the Packers to handle them.
Yeah, nice play. Queen Millie, a birthday girl, said, Cooper Kupp, why don't you give him more credit? And then Bill Berman comes in over the top rope and says, come on, what about Cooper Kupp? And he says he's a nice player.
Nice player. That's what I keep saying. He is a nice player. I mean, I wouldn't want to pay him $16 million a year. He's an inside slot receiver. He does a great job. I think it's a little bit of an overcompensation. But then again, that's how the Rams have built this team. They have overcompensated for a lot of players. Here's what I really worry about in this game. How are the Rams going to score a lot of points? They need to run the ball. They need to run for over 140 yards. The Packers have lost three times this year. They lost once to Tampa Bay when they only scored 10 points. All the other games, they scored 31 against Indianapolis, lost in overtime. They scored 22 to Minnesota, lost there. I don't know how they're not going to score points. I know the Rams are good on defense, but they have Aaron Rodgers.
If you're a Rams backer today and you see a lot of Cam Akers, you're doing well as far as a correlation with your bet. I mean, he had 28 carries last week, 130 yards and a score. If that's the rhythm of this Rams offense, you're feeling good catching the 6.5.
No doubt. And if they can't run Cam and the burden falls on my man Goff, you know, then get your BetMGM app out and start betting against them. Because here's the reality. If the Packers stop the run game here and force Goff to participate in the game, and I mean participate. I mean he's going to have to throw it, much like the Miami Dolphins forced him. I mean, this is a 4-4 team on the road, right? I mean, this is a 4-4 team on the road. Buffalo, with their quarterback earlier this season, they moved the ball effectively on the Rams. Now, the Rams came back, and Buffalo was able to hold on. But this is a team that I think that they've got to play their best football on the road. And if Cam Akers isn't carrying them and they get behind 10-0 or 14 like Tennessee did, it's over.
It's the football playoffs, basketball, hockey, Michael. Get into it at BetMGM Sports Nevada, the premier sports betting app. It has all your favorite wagering options, in-game betting, boosted odds, specials, much more. Download the BetMGM app today. Stop by any MGM casino on the strip. Bring your state-issued ID. Bam, you're ready to go start betting anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your style, you're going to love BetMGM state-of-the-art technology, fan-friendly specials. And every day of the week, we're going to be broadcasting live from Mandalay Bay right here on VSiN. You got to be 21 years or older, physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Got a gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700. If that is gray, this is pink, okay? Michael Lombardi's wearing baby blue, and he looks good. We're coming back with more games right here. On the look at him. He's laughing. It's a good day. It's a good day. It's divisional weekend here on the Lombardi Line. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Siegel here at the top racing place from ExpressBet analyst Jeff Siegel. Santa Anita, race two. Jeff likes the four. Burning turf. Switching jockeys goes to Pratt. He's a tremendous jockey. Make sure you check out in race two, the four horse, Burning Turf at Santa Anita today. In race eight at Santa Anita, the great race place. Jeff likes number four, Indian Peak. 8-1 on the morning line. It's good value. A stakes winner over this course and distance as a three-year-old. This colt could be easily better this time around as a four-year-old. You can bet these races and more. Use First Bet, the preferred horse betting app of VSiN. Just remember, use number1st.com/Vegas100 to get the $100 match bonus. Trust me, it's the greatest app out there when it comes to sports betting. Okay, we welcome you back. And I want to say, Marquis and Neston, I got a little challenge for all of you and Michael Lombardi here. You can go at VSiN Live on Twitter. What I want you to do with all four games is leave your ATS picks. And when you do so, I want to know, is that gray or is that blue? Okay, so let's go. And Stephanie, we were arguing during the break. Will Hill's getting in on the mix. BB, I can't hear you. Michael, turn on his volume there.
Steph, get him an eye appointment, please.
Okay, but we're going to get interactive. This is for Bill Berman and Bill, everybody. At VSiN Live, let us know your picks, ATS, the four games, divisional weekend, and then simply write baby blue or gray. It's that simple. All right. We welcome you back, Michael Lombardi, out at the Borgata. We've had a couple of tweets, actually. Are you going to be there? Your fans are waiting to line up to get autographs. Are you still you still charging for autographs, or are you signing them?
Okay. Let's talk Green Bay Rams here. Let's not get into the novel.
Can I do something quickly, because I want to come back to that one? The one game, if I'm watching one this weekend, it's not even close. I don't care about the Oldsters tomorrow night. I care about Allen. I care about Jackson. That number opened 3, immediately got hit down to 2.5. We haven't sniffed 3 since. Are you surprised that immediately when that 3 was hung, everybody was on the Ravens?
You know, I was, and I thought this was going to keep moving. And Thomas walked in here this morning and said he likes the Bills, and there's a ton of money coming in. I know the Bills Mafia is strong. But if you look at the matchup, it is an interesting matchup. Baltimore can score points. They can score points. We saw this in Cleveland on a Monday night. they run the football effectively. The albatross of the Buffalo Bills defense is their run defense. They struggle in that area. They need to create turnovers. And every team that has run the ball effectively, starting with Kansas City at 240 yards, then Arizona over 200 yards, and then New England, who's driving the ball down at the end of the game with 188 yards rushing. I mean, New England played their one of their better games of the year. I know they lost it, but they played one of their better games of the year there in Orchard Park, and they had an opportunity to win it until the fumble. I just see, when I watch the matchup, I think of Lamar Jackson's ability to run. I mean, he's really good in cold weather. He's 7-1 in temperatures under 40 degrees. He averages over six yards per carry outdoors in weather like this. And I think his ability to make plays, there's a sense of confidence, I think, in the Baltimore team. Now, there's confidence in Buffalo. There's no doubt they're loose. They're ready. But Indianapolis had him on the ropes. I mean, Indy's looking at that stat sheet today and saying, how did we lose this game? Like, how did we lose it? They lost the game because they couldn't convert to third and two. They didn't try to kick the field goal in the red zone that they should have kicked. You know, instead they go for it on fourth down, and it becomes a 10-point swing instead of a 3-point swing in their favor. They mismanaged the game. They didn't make mistakes, but they showed the league the vulnerability within the Buffalo defense.
This is certainly the inverse of last year with the Ravens, because the Ravens have now won six straight games coming into this one, Michael, rushing for more than 230 total yards in 5 of 6. If they're going to run like that against, as you've mentioned, a front with Buffalo, the little undersized, this Baltimore team might push them around.
I think they will, Patrick. I think they will. Now, I think they'll struggle at times to stop Josh Allen. I mean, but sure, they do have three really good corners in that they can put Marlon Humphrey on Cole Beasley. And they could double with Peters or whomever, give him help over top on Diggs. And then where's the ball going? Is it going to Knox? Where is it going? John Brown? I mean, and I think they'll be able to rush the passer. They must keep Josh Allen in front of them. They cannot go past him. The secret to beating Buffalo is the defensive line must keep Josh Allen in front. They're set up to play this game. To me, they have to execute to win it, but they are set up. This is a matchup that I don't think Buffalo wanted to see. I think Buffalo would have much rather had Cleveland or another team, you know, that they could handle and throw the football effectively on.
Here's what I'm saying. Pick your poison with these two teams, two of the hottest teams in football, regardless of conference. The Bills are 8-1 ATS their last 9 games. The Ravens are 7-0 ATS their last 7 games. And the Ravens, by the way, they're catching 2.5. The Ravens are 10-1 ATS their last 11 games as a dog. Harbaugh loves this spot. Cannot wait for that game. 49.5 on the total as well. We're coming back here on the Lombardi Line. Divisional Saturday. Josh Applebaum's going to join. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. If you're betting $22 hoping an 18-year-old hits desperation three, or that empty net goal goes in, or an NFL coach manages the clock correctly, fat chance to hit a four-teamer, that's a parlay this weekend. We have a suggestion. Take that $22. This is simple. Invest it in your sports betting success. Become a VSiN All Access member today and get all our expert VSiN betting analysis for less than $22. Bill AD has lost his mind. We're handing you everything for less than $22. You see it right there. It's VSiN.com/subscribe. You get the daily emails. It's all worth it just for the best bets that we send out via email throughout the day. Again, become a more sophisticated bettor for $22. It's everything you need to increase your sports betting IQ. Place a bet on yourself right now at VSiN.com/subscribe. As Michael Lombardi says, you got to invest money to make money. And a couple of things. One, we're getting completely overwhelmed with gray or blue. One thing, if you're going to send it at VSiN Live, and by the way, Baby Blue's running away, you have to also put your I'm not making it up. You have to put your ATS picks in there. We are a sophisticated sports betting network as well, not just color network. Okay. We say Michael Lombardi.
I've got all four grand boys there, right? Two of them speak really well. The other two, we're working our way through it. And they all know colors, so I think they probably see this as gray. I know Dominic and Leo definitely are going to pick gray. I don't know about the two younger ones, Mikey and Dino, but you know it's really we could ask them. I think they're going to okay. That poll will win
yeah.
That one.
Yeah. Well, we're going to put up the tweets as well, but you have to throw your ATS picks for the four games. Okay, Josh Applebaum, get Dominic in on the case here. Josh Applebaum is here. Market Insights is the podcast. You go to VSiN.com/podcast. Also, remember, I woke up with it this morning. We do it every single morning. We get you set up for your gambling day. Just go to VSiN.com, enter your email address, and it's the daily newsletter. Josh, good morning. What's going on, Lumberjack?
Patrick, Michael, it's great to be with you here. Another great betting day here for NFL fans and bettors, divisional round weekend. So one high-level trend before we dive into all these games. You know, we've seen historically last decade and really the last 3 or 4 years since sports betting legalization has spread that dogs have done pretty well in the playoffs. We just went wild card weekend where dogs were 4-2 ATS. You had those two big upset wins there by the Rams and the Browns. And now if we look, really since legalization took fire here, playoff dogs since 2017, 18 season, 25-15 ATS. They're 63% covering the number. You really want to add in some sharp movement, though. If you see dog with a line move, think of a dog, you know, last week, like the Colts +7 to 6.5 or the Rams +4.5 to +3. Those line move dogs the last 3 years, 12-2 ATS. So you're combining both sharp and contrarian. But this weekend, we get a little different, guys. When you get to the divisional round, one big trend to keep an eye on here is the fact that home teams do very, very well winning the game. Just winning the game. So if you look, thanks to our guy Steve Mackinnon at VSiN, he wrote this in Point Spread Weekly. If you look at home teams winning since 2010, they're 33-11 straight up. They're winning 75% of the time. Now covering the number, it's a little bit more 50-50. It's around 23-20-1, around 53% ATS. But Michael, let me ask you, if this trend holds true and we have four home playoff teams today, one of them may lose. You know, we're going to get three out of four home teams winning. Who do you think is on upset alert? Would it be, you know, Buffalo with the lowest spread? Who do you think maybe should be careful this weekend?
Well, you know, that's how I've always approached this weekend. I think this is truly a weekend where home field does matter. Now, let's go back a little bit. All those numbers are predicated on people being in the seats, right? And so what often happens is a team like Cleveland that's so reliant on their run game goes into Kansas City, crowd noise, hard to run the ball, get behind, you know, becomes 1st-and-15, false starts. We don't have that issue anymore, right? So maybe it's going to be a little different this year. Maybe we will see two road teams win. For me, I think the place where it's the most vulnerable is in Buffalo at Orchard Park, because I think these are two really evenly matched teams. And I think it's going to be a close game. Two teams that have kickers that can make kicks from distance. You know, two teams that are good in the kicking game. I mean, Andre Roberts is hard to deal with when he returns kicks. They always have good field position. It's going to challenge the Ravens, you know, with their special teams. So I think this is an evenly matched game. And then I think the other one could potentially be Tampa Bay, New Orleans. Now, New Orleans has dominated this series. Sean Payton's 4-0 against Bruce Arians before Brady arrived, and they dominated the last two games. So that's how I look at it. But I'm going to throw a stat back out to you, Josh, Mr. Numbers Game. 89% of the teams that win this round cover. Not only do they win, they cover. So my question back to you, Mr. Coke Machines, is what team do you like to cover since you can't play the doggies this weekend?
Oh, it's a great question. So maybe we'll start off.
He's going to not answer. Here's Stephanie, hit the stopwatch. He's going to dance for 2 minutes here. Here we go.
Hey, there he is, Fred Astaire.
I'm dancing. No. First one I do want to look at is Rams Green Bay. Not only because it's the first game of the day here, but you do have some sharp movement here, and this also provides some teaser opportunities. So you look at the Rams, you know, the 6 seed.
No,
here.
That's not the question we asked. The question is who do you think is going to win?
As a dog winning, I would go with Baltimore. You do have a lot of stats here, some movement. You did see Baltimore +3 down to 2.5. The other one I would keep an eye out for, I would agree with you, Michael, Tampa Bay, New Orleans. The one thing about that game, you had real early movement toward Tampa Bay, around +4, 3.5 down to 3, but you're starting to see a lot of buyback here toward the Saints. The Saints are -3, -120, so it's creeping back up. But Michael, I'll throw it back to you.
Uh-oh.
Here we go. We're going. I love this. It's divisional round weekend. The Saints have owned the Bucs this year, 2-0. They've won both these games. how does that factor in? Do you like Tom Brady's third bite at the apple here, or do you think Breeze has his number? Breeze is 5-2 straight up against Brady, best record of any opposing QB.
You know, in my experience in the National Football League, I played a team three times during the season. It was in 1994. Nick Saban's the defensive coordinator. We were in Cleveland. We gave up 204 points the entire year. We lost three times to Pittsburgh. The third time wasn't a charm. It actually got worse than it did better for us. And we were playing really good football. We were 11-5. We didn't win the Central when it was called then. Pittsburgh was the best team. They went on. But I think there is a pattern that's created, especially by the matchups. And I think when you watch this tape, and I have again this week, the Saints corners have done a really good job of covering the Bucs receivers. And they've pressured Brady. And then the Saints have done a really good job of attacking Todd Bowles' system. They've thrown the ball. They start out throwing it. They don't try to run it. They start out throwing it. They get the first play of the game when they played on Sunday night, they were in empty, and Breeze is trying to wing it all over the place. So I like the Saints to continue that trend.
Yeah, what's going to change? New Orleans won the regular season meetings by 11-35. Playoff teams, by the way, going for the three-game season sweep are 14-7 straight up in this spot. And the Bucs went 0-5 ATS and lost by 12 per to teams that are ranked in the top 10 as far as defense. I don't know what's going to change for the Bucs. We'll find out when we come back here on the Lombardi Line, presented by BetMGM. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. See, you got them fired up, Applebaum. Here we go. For free, you can sign up at BetMGM for a chance to win $100 in free bets when you place a $1 wager on any pro football game with the bonus code VSIN100. A touchdown is scored in any game throughout the playoffs. You're going to win $100 paid in free bets. Download the app or sign up online today. It's a new customer offer. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. 21 years or older. You got to be in Colorado, Indiana, Iowa, New Jersey, Nevada, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, West Virginia only. Please gamble responsibly. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. In Colorado, Nevada, 1-800-GAMBLER. In New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and West Virginia, 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa, Tennessee. Call or text Redline, 800-889-9789, 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana. Promotional offer not available in Nevada. Good morning. It doesn't get better than this as we welcome you back here on the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM. I'm Patrick Maher. There's Josh Applebaum. Of course, the man of the hour, baby blue, Michael Lombardi. We welcome.
You're steering the voting.
I'm just saying.
What you're trying to do.
That's all I'm saying.
Look, I don't want to get into recounts because that's ridiculous, but I have a feeling this is going to go the way you want it to go.
Thank you. I appreciate that, Michael. Josh is here, of course. Market insights. Let's circle back on the two today. Weather is not really going to be an issue. Let's talk about these totals. And no surprise here with the best scoring D. The lowest total of the four is going to be in that Rams matchup as it was last weekend. I'm looking at a 45.5. Again, there's the weather, 35 degrees, 15% chance of precip, 10-mile-an-hour winds at the pack.
Yeah, Patrick, yeah, so first one here. Or Michael.
Go ahead, Josh. Hey, Michael, go ahead.
Let me throw you a trivia question here. Sean McVay is 34 years old. LaFleur is 41. This is the youngest head coaching matchup in the playoffs since 1970. So, Michael, in 1970, what was the previous record? Two youngest coaches, 1970.
Well, it had to be Don Shula. Had to be one of them. I think there's Don Shula was one. I'd have to really sit and think long and hard because back then nobody was getting jobs until they turned 50 in the National Football League. So, you know, you got me on the other one. I'm not sure about
that. I know this. In 1970, Lombardi had those McDonald's coupons here in Vegas looking for a meal, right?
That was 1981.
Oh,
you're just off by 11 years. I mean, what do you care, you know? Your novel, color, blue. 11 years. You just thought, you know, you're like okay. Elliot, right. You know.
You take it easy. You know, Josh.
It's just whatever fits.
Who's the other
guy, Josh?
John Madden.
Oh.
John Madden. Yeah, that's true.
Madden,
okay.
Shula, 70, yep.
Are you expecting on these totals anything to change? Opener 46.5, Josh. We're down to 45.5. Baltimore, Buffalo. We've actually seen that it dipped a little bit, but now back to 49.5. That's a big total for those two.
Yeah, big total for those two. And this kind of reminds me a little bit of what we saw last week with the Colts and the Bills, where everyone was really pounding the over, expecting a shootout here. But sometimes, and Michael knows this, you get into the playoffs, you get some of these lower scoring games where they're more grinded out, they're more possession. And again, weather shouldn't be a huge play here, but it is noticeable with Baltimore and Buffalo. You know, this total, it opened around 49.5. It got bet up early to around 50.5. But we have seen a lot of under buyback where it was 50.5 get hit. It's now down to 49.5 here. And again, you look at the Ravens, 10-7 to the under this year. And again, nothing crazy in terms of weather, but a little bit of wind. You may have some snow showers later. So, Michael, how do you envision this one? Is this, you look at Buffalo, they're 12-4-1 to the over. They've cashed a ton of over tickets this year. So do you like, would you take the over 49.5 now that you got it under 50? Or do you think we may have another low scoring game, kind of like Ravens Tennessee last week?
Yeah, I mean, for me, Josh, I think this is Baltimore's strength is their defense. They can't get the ball thrown over their head. They've got to make them play on extended drives and get into a lot of third downs. And if they let him out of the pocket, then this game will get over. If they keep him in the pocket and keep him in front of them, then they've got a better chance to manage the game, which is what New England did. And New England had a chance to win that game at the end, and they just couldn't do it because New England could run the football and they controlled it. They controlled the clock a little bit. So that's where I see it. I think the under is because everybody's suspecting that Baltimore will be able to run the football against a team that gives up 4.6 yards per carry and is not a very physical big team. If they stick Milano in there and he's their receiving guy, he's their coverage guy to all the spread stuff. He's not a big man. He played safety at Penn State. They're going to have a hard time holding up against the inside power of what Baltimore wants to do.
And for you visual learners, by the way, VSIN, you can see it. Steph is throwing up props and different numbers throughout the broadcast today and tomorrow. We've got you covered. More props than any other network right here. By the way, why shouldn't they feel bullish on running the ball? The Colts ran for 163. This is a Baltimore offense that's ran for 230 plus in five of the last six games, Michael. And the haters that want to see Jackson throw from the pocket, why? Why would Baltimore curtail the offense that way today? They're going to run it down Buffalo's throat.
Right, and they need to play really good. And both these teams are really good first quarter teams. Both these teams are really good first half point differential. These are two teams in the top six in first half point differential. These are both teams that want to play from in front. This is a game that's really going to come down to the middle eight. This is going to be one of those middle eight games where who controls the last 4 minutes of the first half and who starts the second that can gain that little bit of an advantage and make a team become a little desperate. So for me, these are two teams that score quickly. They like to play from in front. Who makes them play differently? I think it was a close game. I think it's going to be a fourth quarter field goal type game.
Okay, as a note, first half numbers here, the Rams at the Pack. The Pack are laying 3.5, so 3.5, a total of 22.5. The first half number for the Ravens and Bills, as you'd suspect, it's tighter. The Bills are a 1-point favorite and the total's 24. We go back to the total with Josh Applebaum on that Rams-Green Bay game. Opener of 46.5, ticked down to 45.5. Again, you've got the best scoring offense in football in the Packers. Again, this is really going to be a LaFleur-Staley chess match. I can't wait to see it because that Rams defense is dynamic. How about the total? Where do you expect it to end up here, Josh?
Yeah, we have seen a quick adjustment here. You know, when this total opened, it was 46.5. You do have, it's not as heavy over betting as that Baltimore Buffalo, but you still have public saying, Aaron Rodgers, he can light it up. So let me take the over here. Also, 45.5 in a playoff game, kind of on the low end of things, as we've seen, the kind of the revolution of offense and scoring the NFL, we're used to totals, closer to 50 in a lot of these other games, but it's really a question of what style, what kind of game will this take shape? If you bet college basketball, this is kind of like, the Rams are Virginia, slow-paced defense, and Green Bay is like Gonzaga. So how is that going to kind of handle out? But, Michael, you do have kind of the basic tenets of a public on the over, yet we've seen this line fall. So asking you, Michael, you do have the Rams 12-5 to the under this year. How do you think we'll see this play out with Jalen Ramsey maybe shadowing Adams, or will they move Adams around and try to get Ramsey off of him? And then how will Cooper Kupp, he's a game-time decision here with bursitis in his knee. How do you see that wide receiver matchup against defensive backs? And can Aaron Donald get to Rodgers?
Well, I think Rodgers is going to be able to control the pace of the game by getting rid of the ball quickly. And I think he can neutralize, Donald inside. And the Packers' strength of their offensive line is Lindsey, the center. And he can help there. I think the question is, can Leonard Floyd create some havoc on Billy Turner, the left tackle? I think that's an issue. But Rodgers is so good at being able to handle that. Plus, they have Jones in the backfield. You know, they can run the football effectively, whether they put Williams back there. Look, I do think this. I think that, you know, Brendan Staley's done a really nice job, and he's been in the Vic Fangio family. But we know that Aaron Rodgers has played a lot against Vic Fangio. I bet he's watched probably every single Packer-Bear game that Fangio called plays in. I bet he's watched every one. I bet he's studied everyone. I bet he knows exactly where he's going to throw the football. I bet he understands how he's going to get attacked. He understands the mythology that Fangio uses, which now Staley uses, to develop a game plan. Once you understand that, then you can start attacking the defense. And I think these are two teams that are not fast-starting teams. I mean, both teams are in the middle of the pack. The Rams are 12th in first quarter points differential. The Packers are 14th. Whereas Baltimore and Buffalo, Baltimore's the number one team in first quarter points scored at 118. They're the best team in the first quarter point differential with 69. The Bills are third at 90 and 41. So Baltimore knows they've got to score fast. Buffalo does it as well. These two teams kind of punch each other around. I think it's a lower scoring game. I don't see where the Rams score unless they make a big run. I just don't have any confidence that Goff is going to be able to stay in there, and these two tackles for the Rams can handle the edges of the Packer defense.
Okay, I will say 45.5. You mentioned that's a little low. The over is 5-0 in Green Bay's last five playoff games. By the way, McVay's been tremendous with the Rams. Couple things. One, LA is 13-6 ATS. It's last 19 on the road. That's McVay and the Rams. And then also, Michael, this is a set. If he goes into the half leading, he's undefeated. The adjustments are always there. He's just a tight coach coming out of halftime if he's got that lead.
Yeah, but here's the difference for me, and I love McVay. Like I've said many times on this program, I've said it on my podcast, I would have paid McVay $25 million before I gave Goff $35. I love McVay. I think he does a really good job. There's times where McVay can't win the game alone. He's on the sideline. Aaron Rodgers is something he can't deal with. I mean, that's a whole other element that becomes problematic for him. Now, he's tried to answer it by the way he hired his defensive staff and what he's done, but this will be an issue for them. How are they going to handle the Packer offense? And the Packer offense, you could say, well, the Packers don't have great talent. You know, my cousin Vince will probably be screaming that the whole day today. But Rodgers makes all these guys go. And he makes everything go. And what he really does a great job of, Patrick, is getting him in the right play at the line of scrimmage. No crowd noise, nothing to bother him. He's going to be able to read what they're doing, understand it. He's got a vast, vast resource of information that he can rely on from prior games against Vic Fangio. And he's going to get him in the right play, and that right play is going to lead to some results.
Josh, is there a chasm as far as money allocation today, public, sharp? Where are you at quickly before we get out of here?
Yeah, your top contrarian play of the day would be the Rams, and they do have some sharp reverse line movement. They open +7. They're down to 6.5. They're very similar to that Colts play last week at Buffalo. Same line movement, same sort of public discrepancy. You have public a little bit leaning here on Buffalo. You had some buyback. They were 3 down to 2, now back to 2.5. But also keep an eye out for teasers. You know, I know a public teaser will be Green Bay 6.5 down to a half point, but really look out for Baltimore 2.5 to 8.5. Patrick, you know, and Michael, you know, you go through the 3 through the 7. A lot of value there with Baltimore teaser.
Before we bring you back, would you like to comment gray or blue on Michael?
I love you. I plead the 5th. I love you both. I don't want to upset you.
Okay.
I'm
going to
go.
You wouldn't upset me.
It's completely unacceptable.
Right or wrong.
No, listen. I'm on your side, Lombardi. Applebaum, get the hell out of here. We're coming back with the mayor as we continue. It's a great day here on VSiN, the Esports Betting Network. Applebaum.